you are listening to Law and Gospel. I'm Pastor Tom Baker on Insight Wednesday, September the 27th in the year of our Lord, 2017. It's not always that I consider an Insight Wednesday to be bringing you something that is really important, but it became important actually, in light of Open Mic Friday, when I received a letter from an individual, his name is Jordan, he says, my question is, does God love all sinners? Does God hate sinners? I know that God loves us as Christians in his Son, Jesus Christ, but does God love unforgiven sinners? You don't have to use my question, and you can change, alter, or condense my question, comment in any way that helps you. Also, there are many verses in the New Testament where God shows his love to sinners, but does that mean it is given to all? I know this might be basic 101, but I came across a post and podcast about God hating sinners, and it has tripped me up a little bit. Just wanted to make sure this was accurate understanding of Law and Gospel. And he sent me that post. And I was really surprised to see that there were a number of Lutheran pastors writing in that post. And here's what basically many of them were saying. I'll just read. Usually when people say God hates the sin and loves the sinner, what they mean is God hates the sin, but God does not hate the sinner. God loves sinners. He doesn't hate them. That is wrong. According to the Bible, God always hates sin, and God always hates sinners. I could hardly believe that I was reading something like that. But that's what it was saying. In fact, another writer, God cannot avoid hating sin and sinners. He does so by necessity, for otherwise he would be unjust and would love sin. I'm a sinner and deserve divine wrath and hate. He says, loves you, the Father, not because you are deserving of love, but because you have loved me and have believed that I came from the Father. Do you understand what these folks are saying? What they are saying is the only reason that God loves you is because you love Jesus. And therefore, it's not really true that God loves all people. He only loves those who truly love his Son. You are not deserving of love, but because you have faith, therefore, you truly are loved by God. In fact, when they do the Bible verses, I don't know if they ever looked up their Bible verses, but it appears they do not. Another pastor writes, those who do not believe in the Son remain under God's wrath and hatred. And he uses John 3, verse 36. Now, I'm going to read that to you. I'm going to read verse 35 also. Tell me when you hear the word hatred. The Father loves the Son and has given all things into his hand. Whoever believes in the Son has eternal life. Whoever does not obey the Son shall not see life, but the wrath of God remains on him. So it's true that you remain under God's wrath, but the pastor said, and hatred. The word hatred doesn't appear anywhere in that verse. You see, this is a very common problem that is really at the basis of all made-up religions. They take a look at a human being, and they understand why a human being loves and hates, and therefore they apply it to God. And that with that application, you end up with false idols. Because it is very obvious that God is love. Somebody would say, well, how can he bring wrath on a person while he loves them? I'll tell you, this is what really hit me in reading all this nonsense, that God hates sinners. What really hit me is most times we would say that God's love is better than a parent's love. It's far greater than how parents love their children. But according to these writers, that's not true. No. Parents' love is greater than God's love. How many times have you seen a movie where a child, and he may be a teenager, he may be older, he gets arrested for, let's say, robbing a bank? Who's there at the jail showing her love for him? Maybe not his wife, but many a time his mother. You see, what I am reading here is that God so despises and is in wrath against your bad works that therefore he can't love you. Even though it's true that parents still love. I mean, how many times do you see a parent at jail with a child saying, you know, I know you did wrong. I'm not happy with what you did, but I'm here for you. My love for you will never go away. But not according to these pastors. No, if you deserve divine wrath, then you deserve God's hatred. Now, how do they figure that out? Well, here's what another one wrote. God is holy. Thus he acts in justice towards sin and sinner. There must be judgment and punishment. God hates sin and sinner. Because we are sinners by nature, we are hated by God and are under his wrath. Oh, really? Pray tell, which one of you parents ever had a child that was not born a sinner? And of course, as soon as the child was born, the parent says, boy, I hate that child. Why? Because by nature, they are sinners. Where does this come from? It comes from human reason. That's the way it works in our world. It must be the way it works in God's world. But that's not correct at all. In fact, one person says, how can God be love and also hate? Humanly and logically, it's impossible. No, that's not true at all. A lot of pastors get logic mixed up with reason. The Bible is totally logical. I can't find anywhere in the Bible that logic doesn't rule. Reason? No. It's not reasonable. It's not rational. Oh, would you like an example? Okay, the Holy Trinity. Is it reasonable to say that there are three persons in one God? Absolutely not. No, that's against reason and rationalism. But is it logical? Yes, it is. Because logic teaches that the Father is a person, the Son is a person, the Holy Spirit is a person, three persons, and yet they are one God. The whole doctrine of the Trinity is built on the logic of the Bible, not the reason of the Bible. And there are many more like this. So, if you think God hates you, wow, you're in trouble. Because if God hates you, how do you know he ever has loved you? Now, some people will say, here's where they are wrong, because John 3:16 says, God so loved the world Now, the word world there is really important. It doesn't say God so loved the Lutherans or the Christians or those who believed in him, but the world. So how do they get around a verse like that? Well, there are two Greek words for the word love that they deal with. The one is agape, which is this unconditional love, and that's found in John 3:16. But the other one, which is phileo, which is kind of a brotherly love, we get the city Philadelphia, which actually is two Greek words, brother and love, the city of brotherly love. And they make a song and dance that, yes, God agapes everyone, but he doesn't phileo everyone. He doesn't have a personal relationship with them until they come to faith. It's even worse when you get outside of Lutheranism. How can it be worse? Well, let me explain how it's worse. There are two main points of view in regard to theology. The one is the five-point Calvinist, and the other is kind of the Southern Baptist decision theology. Here's how these pastors indicate that God can hate you. In regard to the five-point Calvinists, they believe in double predestination, which means that God elects those who go to heaven and he elects those who go to hell. And guess what? And this is what a pastor said. The doctrine of election solves this problem, whether God hates sinners, is he only loves those he has elected. Oh, well, that's not very helpful. How do you know you're elected? I've never understood this, because they will say, well, if you have faith, it shows you're elected. But I can show them all kinds of people who appeared to have faith, then fell from the faith, maybe became a Mormon or something. And what do they say? Well, they never really had faith, because they also believe that a person can never fall from faith. And that's sad, because the Bible makes very clear a person can fall from faith. And the Bible also makes clear that God doesn't elect anybody to go to hell. He desires all men to be saved. So the doctrine of election doesn't help you in coming to the conclusion that God only loves those he has elected and he hates everybody else. How about Baptists with decision theology? Here's what the pastor who had that point of view said. God looks as to whether or not you will make the choice to believe in Jesus Christ, and therefore he only loves those who will choose him. The Bible is very clear. You have not chosen me, I chose you, says Jesus. But under that false theology, it gives people the understanding that God does hate those who haven't chosen him. Well, let me get to the Bible now. I've got two full pages of Bible verses that will help us come to the conclusion as to whether or not God ever hates anybody. The first point I want to make, we won't be able to get through this, so we may have to continue this with Wes Reimnitz tomorrow. The one verse that's really kind of important is this verse from John 3:36. The Father loves the Son and has given all things into his hand. Whoever believes in the Son has eternal life. Whoever does not obey the Son shall not see life, but the wrath of God remains on him. This is very important to understand. Time and time again, it is clear that God hates sin. But I cannot find one Bible verse where it says that God hates a person in the same way that he hates sin. Every time he talks about hating something, it's always in light of the fact that he's hating the deeds of the people. Psalm chapter 5. O Lord, in the morning you hear my voice. In the morning I prepare a sacrifice for you and watch. For you are not a God who delights in wickedness. Evil may not dwell with you. Okay, that's really important. Hatred is evil. Evil may not dwell with you. The boastful shall stand before your eyes. You hate all evildoers. Now, that sounds like he's hating people until you read the next verse. You destroy those who speak lies. The Lord abhors the bloodthirsty and the deceitful man. Notice immediately, there's no hatred of the person. There's a hatred of the deeds. Just in case you think that God can hate those who are his enemy, what are you going to do with Matthew chapter 5, Jesus' Sermon on the Mount? You have heard that it was said, you shall love your neighbor and hate your enemy. But I say to you, love your enemies and pray for those who persecute you, so that you may be sons of your Father who is in heaven. For he makes his sun rise on the evil and on the good, and sends rain on the just and on the unjust. You see, if he really hated them, the unjust wouldn't get any rain. That's the point that is being made here by Jesus. But did you hear that? Love your neighbor and hate your enemy. Therefore, anybody who says that God hates a human being, he is therefore breaking the commandment that God, in the person of Jesus Christ, did in the sermon. In fact, it's even continued in Luke chapter 6, verse 27. I say to you who hear, love your enemies, do good to those who hate you, bless those who curse you, pray for those who abuse you. Wow. Aren't we looking at Jesus on the cross? Father, forgive them, for they know not what they're doing. Oh, I'm sorry, Jesus, I can't do that because you and I hate them. Yeah, according to these theologians, because they are evil, because they are unrepentant, we therefore hate them. See, it comes back again and again that these folks who think that God actually hates human beings puts God on a lesser level of love than parents, whose love many a time does not disappear regardless of the behavior on the part of a child. So parents have a better love than God does? In Deuteronomy chapter 7, God is, through Moses, explaining why he chose the people of Israel. It was not because you were more in number than any other people that the Lord set his love on you and chose you, for you were the fewest of all peoples. But it is because the Lord loves you and is keeping the oath that he swore to your fathers, that the Lord has brought you out with a mighty hand and redeemed you from the house of slavery, from the hand of Pharaoh, king of Egypt. Wow. That was a love to these people. And remember, oh, they were always complaining against God. How are we going to cross the Red Sea? They crossed the Red Sea. We don't have any water. They got water. Oh, we don't have any bread to eat. They got manna. Oh, no, we don't have any flesh to eat. And the birds came. So, what is this nonsense that God hates people? You see, in humanity, when you are punished, that's often considered as hate. If you're ever doing a Sunday school with 4, 5, and 6-year-olds, ask them this question. Is there ever a time that your parents show that they don't love you? And more than one child will talk about, oh yeah, when they punish me. You know, they don't like me. They don't love me. Listen to Proverbs 13:24. Whoever spares the rod hates his son, but he who loves him is diligent to discipline him. Do you understand God's view of love and hate? It's the very opposite of human beings' view of love and hate. If you don't discipline your children, that shows you hate them. If you truly love them, you will be diligent in disciplining them. I mean, Jesus had no problem with that. Peter, get thee behind me, Satan. Are we going to say, therefore, that Jesus hated Peter? Well, according to these pastors, yes, he did. We need to understand that the word hate really has a different meaning in the original language. There was some study done about the two words on love, but nobody I read was doing a study on the word hate. The idea that the word hate cannot mean what human beings normally think about when we say the word hate is clear from Luke 14, verse 26 and 27. If anyone comes to me and does not hate his own father and mother and wife and children and brothers and sisters, yes, and even his own life, he cannot be my disciple. What does that mean? I have to hate my own father and mother? Well, and that's the word, by the way, for hate, when it says that God hates our sins. There's not one place in the whole Bible where it says God hates us because we are unbelievers. You understand what it means that if you don't hate your own father and mother? The next verse helps us to understand it. Verse 27, whoever does not bear his own cross and come after me cannot be my disciple. You see, you may have a choice. Your father and mother, let's say they're not Christian, and you want to marry someone who is a Christian, but they're really opposed to it. And so you end up not marrying them because you don't want to go against your own father and mother, even though there's love towards the other person. That the word hate here doesn't mean that you despise your father or your mother, but if you do what your father and mother and wife and children and brothers and sisters want you to do rather than do what God wants you to do, you're making a preference. And that preference is to so care for your parents that you don't really love God. That's why he says you need to hate your father and mother. I'm not even halfway through the Bible verses. So I think we're going to have to deal with that. Especially there's one verse that's really important. Because it does seem that God says he's hating someone. And we need to take a look at that. It's Romans 9, verse 13. I'll just read it. As it is written, Jacob I loved, but Esau I hated. Okay, there's a place where it sounds like God is hating Esau. So what am I talking about? He doesn't hate sinners. Tomorrow, I think this is really important. On Rumination Thursday with Wes Reimnitz, we'll begin with that verse, Romans 9, 10 to 16. The answer to the question as to whether or not when God hates sin, he hates the sinner, is an absolute no. God's love never changes. How many times have I said this? There's nothing more you can do to get God to love you more. And there's nothing you can do to get God to love you less. We're not just talking about believers. We're also talking about unbelievers. The love of God is so unique to even try to compare it to the love and hate of human beings falls into a false religion. And so after tomorrow, I hope you'll be absolutely convinced that God loves you regardless of your behavior, regardless of your faith, because God is love. And this idea that he ever hates a sinner, in my opinion, comes from the devil himself. Because if you believe that he can hate sinners, you can never be sure he doesn't hate you. I'm Tom Baker. I've already said what's going to be on tomorrow's Law and Gospel with Wes Reimnitz. We'll take a look at that Romans 9 passage. Have a lot more to say for one purpose, to comfort you that regardless who you are, God loves you. God bless.
It's a Law and Gospel each weekday at this time on Worldwide KFUO. For a contribution to the program, make your check payable to Law and Gospel and mail it to Pastor Tom Baker, Post Office Box 28910, St. Louis, Missouri 63132. You can call toll-free at 1-877-267-1962 or email Law and Gospel at lawandgospel101.com. Views and opinions expressed on Worldwide KFUO may not represent the official position of the management or ownership of KFUO, the Lutheran Church, Missouri Synod. If you'd like to comment on programs or topics heard on Worldwide KFUO, write us at KFUO, 1333 South Kirkwood Road, St. Louis, Missouri, 63122. You can also leave a question or comment on our comment line at 314-996-1542. We are the messenger of good news, Worldwide KFUO.